If you have your Bibles with you tonight, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 2, please. I've entitled this little devotional that we're going to do this evening, The Impact of Seeing God. Can you imagine if you saw God? If somehow, some way, when you went home this evening, you got a look at God and you saw Him. That would change you. If you saw Him and you recognized Him and you knew that the individual that you were looking at happened to be God. And I was thinking about, you know, every once in a while some traumatic thing will occur. Maybe, you know, it's a natural calamity, one of the evils of our day, and lots of individuals are injured or killed or whatever, and people experience these things, and right off the bat, because of the impact of seeing something, the counselors are called in. And if you're unable to handle whatever it is that you may have seen, counselors are available to help you to cope. What do you think would happen? And I was thinking about this for a couple of reasons. If you saw God, it would impact your life in such a way that you would never be the same again. You wouldn't forget, would you? No, we would remember that for all of eternity and the rest of our lives and so on. Anyway, let's just pray before we take a look at a few verses tonight. Thank you again, our Father, for this group of folks who are gathered here. And Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Dear God, we thank you tonight for the assurance we have that if we trust you, that we will be with you throughout all of eternity. Thank you for the great gift of salvation, for the blood of Christ that was shed for us. We ask, Lord, this evening that you would speak to our hearts, that you'd encourage us, that you'd enlighten us. Lord, if there's one here outside of Christ, you'd bring them to a saving knowledge of yourself. And as believers, Lord, I know that many times that we slip or slide into sin or difficulties or circumstances that we didn't plan, nonetheless we're there and we need your help, Lord, to bring us back into the fold to live for you like we ought to, that our fellowship can be restored. So I pray, Lord, tonight that because you know each of our hearts, that you'd suit a blessing to fit each of whatever our needs would be here this evening in Christ's name. Amen. I want to read tonight from Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." I want you to think about it this evening. If you were a shepherd and you were in the field and it was night and all of a sudden around about you would have been angels from heaven and the glory of the Lord shone round about you, you would never have seen that before. You would never have experienced that before. And you would become afraid. These were able men. They were shepherds. They were used to living outside. We know from reading in David's life, it was not uncommon for him at least. He killed a lion and he had killed a bear. But if a light shone from heaven and a voice came from heaven and somebody from heaven visited you, you would be afraid, because the truth of the matter is just this. Even when someone is lost at the great white throne of judgment, it's awesome to stand before God and to be speechless because it's you before God. The most humble, I believe, in a person's life that they ever are is the moment of salvation. Nothing else matters. These men had an interesting encounter. Verse 10, it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." It says, to all people. Those of you who are in our Sunday school class, keep that in mind. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. We'll stop there. And I want to look at this passage of Scripture, and I know there's some theology in there. I want to look at it devotionally. And along about this time of year, every year, we talk about these things. But I wanted to look at this just a little bit differently tonight, in the sense that, can you imagine what it would have been like to have been one of those men? You're just on your daily routine. You went to work this morning, and I don't know what kind of shifts they had or how it went or how exactly the whole thing worked. But they would be out in the country, in the fields, away from home, away from the towns and away from the cities, tending the sheep, taking them from place to place. They were used to that. Sometimes they met with other shepherds, sometimes they didn't. Daily routine of life, the workaday world of the shepherd, and one night they were visited from guests from heaven. And I got thinking about this and the idea of what they saw, and this idea of what an impact it would have had on their lives, and I started to imagine. Did you ever start to imagine? Isn't it fun to think about? And it doesn't tell us a whole lot. It tells us that they went and they saw him and so on. But when you read through and you think about, well, how would that have changed their lives? One passage of Scripture that always comes to my mind when I think about people seeing God and so on is Isaiah chapter 6. We talk about it a lot for a number of reasons. One is Isaiah is one of my favorite books. You know, I was reading about a man who, I shouldn't tell you this because we're in the third chapter of Mark, and well over a year to get to chapter 3. But a gentleman had decided, he was an expository preacher, and he decided to preach through the book of Isaiah. 40 years later, he wasn't finished. There's a lot of theology in that book. In chapter 6, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the angels cried, what? Holy, holy, holy. And as you read on through the 6th chapter of Isaiah, you will find that after he had seen the Lord, and he recognized the Lord, and he knew that the Lord was holy, and a conversation went on, I can't do this thing because I'm a man of unclean lips, and God dealt with him. And you will find Isaiah then saying, well, what is it that you want me to do? And he became a willing worker. I sat and I looked and I thought about these shepherds, and I thought about your life and my life, and in my own life I can say this without doing damage to the text or without, I don't believe in extra biblical revelation, we're not saying that. Or I'm not saying that tonight, that God appeared to me in a vision or a dream or anything like that. But you know, from the time I was able to think, I believed that God created me. I never believed in evolution. I had swallowed the gap theory for a while because I was taught that and didn't understand any differently, and I hadn't studied Scripture. I don't believe that anymore. But I had no problem to believe that I was created. I had no problem to believe, and I understood that the Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. And I believed what the Bible said, to a point. And then one day, and I find this interesting, and I want to say it like this, with my spiritual eyes. You know, my soul, according to, I think it's Psalm 119, verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. And quicken means to make alive, to animate. to say, take something that's motionless, that's dead, that has no life, and make it alive. Spiritually, I was dead. In my head, I understood these things. And through the preaching of the gospel and hearing the gospel one day, I saw God with my spiritual eyes. It wasn't that I saw an image, but my understanding was open and I recognized Christ as my own Savior. And I recognized myself as being lost. And I thought it's kind of interesting how all of a sudden, having heard the gospel a number of times, that the gospel had a great impact on my life and changed me forever. And I thought about it and just this idea, what the shepherds saw would have changed them. And we have to be a little bit careful when we say this, but the truth of the matter is tonight, if you're here tonight and you're a believer, if you're saved, if you're going to heaven, there has to have been a point in time when your spiritual eyes were open and you saw God for who He was. And when that takes place in a person's life, you're changed and you're changed forever. See, you're not going to be lost again. Your salvation can never be taken away. And I got thinking, although it doesn't tell us, what kind of an impact would this event have had on those shepherds? Well, in Luke chapter 2, verse 16, it says, they left at once to find Him. I want to tell you, being a shepherd was a busy job. It was a responsible job. It was an important job. And whoever owned the sheep, if they were yours, if they were someone else's, you couldn't just run off and say, hello sheep, goodbye, see you in 2 or 3 years. I'm not sure what arrangements they made, but I'm sure they did. But immediately they came to the place where they decided, from this point forward, today, right now, we're going to leave and we're going to go find this one who was born. So in one area that it impacted them is they were no longer satisfied with what they were doing. They had to know more. They had to go and find this child that was born. And as it says in Luke 2:16, the idea is that they left at once. Number two, I just wrote down that they arrived and what they found was a normal child. The baby, the Lord Jesus Christ as a child, looked like any other man child. You wouldn't, if you had a lineup and no one knew which one was Christ and you put them all together and had somebody come in and say, pick out the baby Jesus, he didn't look different than the others. He was just a normal, absolutely man baby. On the other hand, we know that he was absolutely God at the same time. So the shepherds would have gone and they found the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that was unique, and this was mentioned a little bit this morning, is just this, and we didn't take time to elaborate too much, and we won't take too much time tonight. On the surface, the Lord Jesus Christ was an absolutely normal child. But the real fact of the matter is, he was the only sinless child that ever lived. And I can say that, you know, we can't say that about adults. Because we know at one point in time, Adam and Eve were both sinless adults, right? They hadn't sinned yet. But they weren't children. They were created adult. Adam was a man already on the day that he was created. The Lord Jesus Christ was born. He was never born in sin. There was a uniqueness about him, and it was just this. No sin nature. I don't believe tonight that when he was found that Mary had a halo around her head, he didn't have a halo around his head. The only people that I know who have halos around their head are certain independent Baptists. We don't have any of those stripes in our church. And that's the own picture that some of these folks paint. But how many of you, have you ever seen one with a halo? Some of you, you've actually seen the halo? I thought it was imaginary. Nonetheless, you know what I'm saying. Sometimes people can get to the place where we're self-righteous and it's like we've got our own little halo. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have a halo. He was normal. And we mentioned this morning that he didn't have an earthly father. He didn't inherit a sin nature through his dad. But the other side of that, and there's a little more to it, but God was his father. When we look at what went on here and why there was such an impact in the lives of those shepherds and in our lives when we get to see the Lord for who he really is just this. We have to keep in mind, and what we sometimes forget, is this is God's plan. And that the God that Isaiah saw, who was holy, is the God of the Bible. And the God of the Bible, even if you go back to the very first verse in Scripture, in the beginning God, it speaks of Elohim, uniplural God, the Trinity. All that God is was involved in what we call, and I don't like to use this terminology, we call it the Christmas story. It isn't a story. It's a story in the sense that it's written, but this is history. This is the history of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Some shepherds had some heavenly visitors. It impacted their lives. Christ was a normal baby with the exception he was sinless. He had no earthly father, but he had God for his father. Thirdly, when you stop and think about Christ and who he is and so on, we sometimes forget the fact that his birth was connected to the cross. In Matthew's gospel, it says this, that he shall save his people. You call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sin. How is he going to do that? Interestingly enough, the Bible plan was this, that the Lord Jesus Christ would save us from our sin by becoming one of us. Emmanuel's God with us. And God with us was in the manger. The announcement of his birth was made, and it impacted those who were told. And the Lord Jesus Christ's birth and Christmas is connected to the cross. Why? Because why was he born? It's interesting when you look at Scripture and you think of God as being sovereign. And when we look at the idea that God had a plan for the nation of Israel, that the Lord Jesus Christ would one day come and their inheritance would be a nation here on earth ruled by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, by their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came, he was rejected by the Jews. And the idea, one day we know, and even soon, within the next little more than 7 years, it's possible if the rapture were to take place tonight. 7 years from tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ would return and set up his kingdom here on earth as the Messiah. Well, they were looking for a king, but there was something else necessary that man needed, or else we would be eternally lost. They needed a savior. And Emmanuel that was born carries with it the idea that the Lord Jesus Christ would come as our what? As our savior, to pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world. And it says here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 20 that the shepherds left praising God. I can understand that, can't you? Can you imagine the conversation that would have gone on among that group? Early on, I don't know how long this whole thing lasted, but it would be like, hey, did you see that? I can remember one evening driving along and the lightning hit the road right in front of my car. And my passenger said, whoa, did you see that? It's like, yeah, and I haven't seen anything since. It was blinding. better stop here for a minute. You've been in one of those situations where I can't believe my eyes. I want to tell you, those who have encountered angelic visits to this degree will never be the same again. And the conversation, I'm not sure how it went, but I can well imagine what they would have said to each other. We need to go now and find, because, wow, this was really God. You know, sometimes what we need in our lives is, I'm going to call a reality check. We live in an imaginary world. We live in how we wish it was. And I was talking to a couple of people actually over the last week who said to me something like this: things are pretty good, but my life isn't how I wished it would have been. Who couldn't say that? Everybody wants to live their entire life with no difficulties, no problems, rich, right? Always feel well. Everybody loves me. Actually, I've grown to the place where I don't care about that one anymore. It doesn't fit well with ministry. Because, especially if you're an expository preacher, somewhere along the line, you're going to say something that rubs somebody, and for some reason, I'm not sure how it works. I've had people say to me, "How did you know I was doing this, this, and this?" Well, up until this point, when you just told me, I had no clue. I'm just preaching the text. Listen, these shepherds saw something, and this became real. I can remember a number of years ago sitting talking with a minister. At that time, I was in Bible school, and a young man was in the hospital with cancer. And it became obviously, if a miracle was not to take place, that he could not live. He was going to die. And he knew it, and this guy was like in his 20s. And I asked the minister, we were talking about it, and we prayed together, and we talked about this individual, and he said, "I learned this." This was a man of an important character in the world of ministry. He said, "I learned what reality was." He says, "You did?" "Yeah." He says, "Why?" "It's because this individual said to me, 'Sir, you don't know what reality is. But what I'm experiencing right now is very real.'" And I can remember my daughter, a number of years ago, visited one of our friends in the hospital just 2 days before she died. And the lady looked at Tony and said, "You know, I wish I could go back to worrying about money again." "And wouldn't it be great to go back and so on?" And the part that was funny, she had ordered out and she was sitting there eating chicken. "When I die," she said, "I shouldn't be eating this. It isn't good for me." Ha, ha, ha. And then she went on to say that she and her husband had prepared for her death and everything was fine. But the word she also used is, "This is real. This is reality." And I think sometimes we need a reality check. Those shepherds had a reality check. They saw things how they really were, and they decided that we're going to do something about this, and they went on. They went on praising the Lord. Also, as you look at this in chapter 2, Luke's Gospel, verse 17, it says that they, well, I'll read the verse, Luke 2:17. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them." They went on and they were telling people, "Hey, guess what happened? One night we were in the field, last night, and as time went on, last week, last month, and we were visited by a host of angels, and they said this." The interesting thing is, do you know there would have been folks who would have laughed at them? You read between the lines. Sure you did. Exactly, I'm sure the Lord sent some angels to tell you. Nobody told me, and there would have been some of them who didn't believe. There would have been some of them that did believe. But this idea of seeing God had an impact on the lives of those shepherds, and they went on to tell others. And I got thinking about something a little different. Part of it has to do with my own history, I guess. Most of you would know. Can somebody here in Pine Glen, somebody asked where I came from. And one gentleman says, "Oh, you don't know where he crawled out from under a stump." That isn't quite the truth. I wasn't hatched. I was born, same as the rest of you. But the truth of the matter is that I enjoyed and I spent a lot of time in the woods. I spent my life in the woods, and I love being in the woods. I like to work in the woods. And we used to work at night, and every night there we would have a fire. Can you imagine eating at midnight because you're going to work all night? And we carried a fire with us, and people used to make fun of us because we operated mechanical harvesting equipment You could have the technology and the complex machinery, but you can't take the woods out of a woods person. So we carried a fire with us, and from October until the roads closed, there was a fire that never went out. And we carried it with us. And the interesting thing, every night you would sit around the fire and the guys that I worked with would talk. And you talked about everything. There was some lewd things. There were some serious things. Every once in a while, something would happen. But can you imagine if these shepherds were moved? And I believe that at night, probably the shepherds would sit around a fire. And they would talk to each other. And some of these guys would say, one night, I saw some angels, they came from heaven. Or do you think they would keep that a secret? They really saw the Lord for who he was, because they had some heavenly visitors. Don't you think that when they moved from place to place? Well, it says they spread it abroad. And my mind went back to one night I was sitting by a fire in the woods in the night. And everyone had left except one other individual. And I was just getting ready to get back in my machine, and a man said to me, have you got a minute? That was one of the strangest things for anybody to say, because that is not the lingo of the place. And I said, yes. And I waited for a few seconds. And an individual shared Christ with me. Now, that may not seem like much to you, but do you know something? What a risk. Because I could have made fun of him. I could have made it so for the whole rest of the time that he worked there, he wouldn't be able to sit by that fire with the other men again, because they would make fun of him. The truth of the matter is, I was ashamed. Because I'd been a Christian for a couple of years, and here this young guy witnessed to me. That was one of the best things that ever happened. It gave me courage to witness to others. And there's a man who doesn't know what an impact he had on my life. He gave me the courage to witness to others in hard places. Listen, when you take a look at it, I got thinking about this. These shepherds, when they saw God for who he was, they spread what they had heard. Truth of the matter is, tonight when you stop and look at the scriptures and what we call the gospel story, we know that 2,000 years ago in that area of time was born in a manger in Bethlehem the Lord Jesus Christ. And that he lived and he walked and he died and he was buried and he's risen to pay the penalty for the sins of the world. And if you're here tonight and you're a believer, you, in your spiritual eye, have seen God. And it's time that it's taken an impact in our lives. The impact should just be this, that we would be willing to tell others. And the interesting thing, the individual that shared the gospel with me that night is still doing the same thing. And what troubles me a little bit is some of these men feel that their lives haven't been significant because they've remained in the workplace. That had an impact in my life. You don't know what will happen if you share the gospel with somebody, even with another believer. Because it encouraged me and was part of what made me what I am. And I'm thankful. The idea is just this, pretty simple when you stop and think about it. Did you ever think about how does it impact a person to see the Lord? And I'm not talking about with our physical eyes, because we know that isn't possible. I'm not talking about dreams or visions. I'm talking about the fact that God the Holy Spirit ministers in our hearts and our understanding is adjusted when we see God. And for some reason, we've all become dull or blind or something, because it should impact our lives in such a way that we would spread abroad the same as the shepherds did. and that we would become witnesses as we ought to. Anyway, enough said. Let's pray. Thank you again, our Father, for the few minutes we've had, and we thank you, Lord, that as we look through Luke's gospel, that we understand that what the shepherds saw and heard changed them. Dear God, as believers, as we look back over our own lives, we can see that when we truly saw you for who you were, our lives were forever changed. Lord, I just pray that these few devotional thoughts tonight would serve as a reminder to us. And Lord, that we would be willing to share the gospel with others, and that the impact of the gospel of Christ would be felt around the globe as we are faithful in our witnessing. Thank you again for your word tonight and this good group that's gathered. Pray, Lord, that you'd minister to us, and we trust you tonight in Christ's name. Amen.